Good morning. It's good to be here at home in Grace House, Alabama. Thank you for the rain to make me feel at home. From Seattle area, so it rains a lot. Not too heavy, though. That's good. We were going to do it different than Kyle said. I think you're supposed to go first, so I'm getting ready here. It's always good to be with Eddie and Mickey. Two of our dearest friends, my wife and I, we love to be around you. We just feel like you go to some churches and just feel like it's home. You just feel like, just like our church at home, we're so much alike. And I had a message prepared, and early this morning when I got up to pray, the Lord changed my message. He does that. And I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 to 23. Kyle just got in from Ghana. I just got in from the Philippines on Monday, an 8-day trip, took a team of six. And I want to talk about what I believe God wants to do in Grace House, what he wants to do in Alabama. I believe God's ready to use Alabama in our nation and the nations. And he's going to be redigging the old wells. I read in my devotions this morning, Genesis 26, about redigging the old wells. And we prayed before we came out. Pastor Eddie said, I think we're here to redig some old wells. So I read straight through the Bible, two chapters in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament every morning. My chapters this morning were Genesis 25 and 26 about redigging the wells. So I believe there's going to come a sound out of Alabama that's going to shake the nation. You've been known for your sound, but it was a sound that erupted on the day of Pentecost that caused the house to be filled, and we need the house of America to be filled with the presence of God. So this morning I want to talk about you are surrounded, you will surrender. You are surrounded, you will surrender. And this message came and got dropped into my heart by the Holy Spirit. I take very little credit for this message. You know, sometimes God just drops the whole thing and the whole bundle into your heart. I was ready to speak in the Northwest at a conference at our church that was for the Pacific Northwest. And I had the message prepared for about a month. I was all excited about it. And one of our missionaries came back from Mongolia. And when he came back the morning before the conference, he lays his hands on me and says, "And Lord, I thank you that even if Pastor Dan has a message for this conference, you're going to give him a new one for it." I was like, what kind of prayer is that? I've been studying for a month. This crazy missionary comes back, and I go down, kneel down to pray, and all of a sudden I hear this voice say, "You are surrounded, you will surrender." And like most men, I say, "I'm not surrendering to the enemy. I'm not listening to voices like that." And then the Lord spoke, "It's not the enemy's voice, it's my voice. And I'm going to give you a new message." So what you're going to hear this morning is a message God gave me over about 15 years ago. It dropped into my heart this morning, and for some strange reason, when I turned to the passage, I had my notes in there. I didn't know I had the notes in there. God's really good. So the king of Syria was warring against Israel, and always the star of the whole story is God and his son Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, it's a revelation of who Jesus is. And he is the God who sees. He's the God who keeps us. He's the God who shows mercy to us. And God showed me something in that prayer meeting this morning. We're going to learn from Elisha and his servant as they were surrounded by their enemies. You're surrounded by enemies. You're surrounded by situations in life. And it's something that God taught me that I've learned to use in my life that I think will be applicable. And I believe that this week's going to do a lot to establish, this weekend to establish, this is an apostolic center that will release people. And one of the things about an apostolic center just doesn't raise up apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but equips the people to be released. And my joy as the senior apostolic leader, now my son is the senior pastor, so my son is my senior pastor. He works a lot with Kyle and with Joseph Matera and is involved in a lot of international ministries, but our joy is to see our people released, is to see them equipped to do the ministry, to see them traveling to nations, to cities, making an impact. And so our grace as apostolic leaders is to release people to do the ministry. So my greatest joy is to watch my people do ministry. So I sat back one of the days in the Philippines and watched all the people I brought do all the ministry. And I just got to sit there and watch and see how the anointing of God was on them and they were being used. And some of those things are going to happen this weekend. 2 Kings 6, verse 8, "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, 'My camp will be in such and such a place.' And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.' Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you now show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None of us, Lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he's in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered him, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to him, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they came to Samaria that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have not taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the hands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. I don't think you're probably going to be surrounded by the Syrian army tomorrow, hopefully. And the king of Syria was waging war against Israel. He was making battle plans. And as he was in the midst of making battle plans, Israel already knew what he was doing before he started. And Elisha, by revelation, knew what was going on in the king's plan. Thank God for prophets. I don't believe there was just prophetic people in the Old Testament times. Matter of fact, once I heard that Chuck Pierce will be here. Once Chuck was at our church, he's been there a number of times. And he was at the hotel down the street about 3-4 miles away. And one of the men in the church had just come in, and he got mad that we were having a prophetic conference. He didn't want to have anything prophetic. He was one of those people that thought some of those things had all stopped. And so he came in and slapped his keys down on my desk. I'm resigning. I'd known him for probably 30 years. And he walked out of the office and said, "I'm done. I quit. I'm tired of this stuff, and I didn't sign up for this." And I'd never had an argument with him. He'd been a faithful man. He just walked right out of my office, and I was sitting there kind of stunned. And while I was sitting there stunned going, "What is going on, Lord?" the phone rang. It was Chuck Pierce down at the hotel. He said, "Brother Dan," he said, I just called you to tell you, that man that just came in your office and slapped the keys down on the desk and told you he was quitting the men's ministry. He didn't even know the man was in charge of the men's ministry. He didn't even know the man. Told me the whole conversation that happened. He said, "Oh, by the way, can you pick me up in 15 minutes? See you later." Hung the phone up. Then I was more stunned. He described exactly, he said, "This is God, don't worry about it." I was already worried about it. And so, God still has people that hear his voice. And he warned the king of Israel because he'd heard a word from God. And the king of Syria wanted to know among his men, who is ratting me out? Who's the traitor amongst us? And they said, "King, there's no traitor. There's a prophet named Elijah, and he knows what's going on in your bedroom. God's giving him information, revelation. He's stopping your plans. We're not the ones that are doing it. And prophetic ministry is needed today. We need prophetic men and women to rise up and prophesy. We need them to have revelation from God." And they were surrounded. And the king said, "Go and see where he is." He wanted to get Elijah, and they found him in Dothan, which was in the valley of Jezreel. It was 12 miles north of the capital city. And the next morning, the servant got up early to find the whole city surrounded. I don't know if he got up to have Starbucks. I'm from Seattle. Maybe you have different kinds of coffee down here, but we have Starbucks everywhere. We have Starbucks. I'm waiting for them to put it in bathrooms. It's everywhere else but in bathrooms. Sometimes it's on all four corners in every grocery store. And so it's amazing. So he might have got up to get coffee. He looks, and there's horses and chariots all around, and he was surrounded. And when the Lord dropped this message, he said, "There's people that are surrounded by all kinds of things." And he said, "I want you to search the scriptures and find out all the things that surround people. You're not going to be surrounded by the Syrian army, but you're as challenged as individuals and as a corporate church and people in the city. You're surrounded by the enemy's forces, and you're surrounded by darkness. They were surrounded by chariots. And it says the angels of the Lord encamp about those who fear him. And so we have angelic hosts that are around us, surrounding us, but we're surrounded by other things. What surrounds us in life? Well, we're surrounded by things like the wicked who oppress me, it says in Psalm 17:9. David says, the wicked who oppress me from my deadly enemies who surround me. You're surrounded by people that hate us. We're surrounded by people that don't understand us. We're surrounded by a nation that's very confused in a whole lot of areas. Not so much here in the South, but I'll tell you, you want to learn about confusion, come to the Seattle area. You know, there's been a group of people that have painted graffiti from Everett to Tacoma on every freeway cement there is, and even on signs. Even on the public signs that say Seattle 3 miles or, you know, Mercer Street. And they finally found out who they were. And this is what's normal in Seattle. They bring the 18 men that have cost the city millions of dollars. They come before the judge, and the judge says, I'm going to let you go as long as you promise not to do it again. See, the issue in the last days is lawlessness. There's a mystery of godliness at work. There's a mystery of iniquity at work. And it literally means lawlessness. If you study the root in the Greek, it literally means there'll be no more laws for good people. There will only be laws that are made to protect evil people. And that's exactly what's happening. There's a spirit of lawlessness that runs rampant in our city. Our governor just got done with his third term, thank God. He can't be governor anymore. I don't know if we'll get anybody better, but at least it's nice to know he's gone. You know what he told us during the pandemic? His first public statement was who you could ride in a golf cart with to not spread the pandemic. That was his first statement. He didn't even know that CHOP had happened. He didn't even know that people had taken over 6 city blocks and declared themselves a sovereign nation. He was the governor of our state, and he didn't even realize that. Pretty sad. Habakkuk 1:4 says, therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. We've seen it in our nation. We've seen how wicked people have caused there to be a surrounding. And it's surrounded righteous people. So we have outside forces that surround us, and sometimes we have internal forces that surround us. Not just external things, but internal things. And I started to study, and in 2 Samuel 22:5, it says, when the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Sometimes fear and death surrounds us. Sometimes we're worried about death, or we're worried about fears of what could happen to us. Hosea 7:2 says, they do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face. Sometimes our own deeds surround us. Sometimes we do things we shouldn't do, and we're haunted by, you know, things that we should have done that we didn't do, or things that we didn't do that we should have done. So we have all kinds of things that surround us. But I realized if you only look in the natural, you're only seeing the visible things which are not eternal. And we need to begin to see by the eye of the Spirit what the Holy Spirit is saying. I love the Holy Spirit. He's the invisible person of the Trinity that manifests himself through the gifts of the Spirit, that manifests himself in and through our lives. So we are surrounded by those things, and we will surrender. And a lot of us have learned to surrender to those type of things, the external fears and the internal fears. And I believe that God wants us to be surrendering to the right surrounding. Yes, we're surrounded by all those things. Yes, we're surrounded by wickedness and darkness. But some people major on all the evil things that are surrounding us. And if you keep your eyes fixed on those things will start to control your life. So you are surrounded, but you will surrender. So the servant says, what shall we do? And Elisha says, do not be afraid. For those that are with us are more than... Can you imagine the poor servant that hadn't had his eyes open looking at the Syrian army surrounding them, and there's two of them and a whole army against them? He must have thought, what is the matter with this man of God? Can't he see? Maybe he needs to put his glasses on this morning. And they're surrounded by this incredible, incredible enemy. And then he prays, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. See, we need to have our eyes open to the invisible realm. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, we need to realize God lives in the invisible realm. And we're too focused on what we visibly see and what we've heard with our ears rather than visibly looking at the unseen one who speaks from heaven. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, the young man he saw the mountains were full, and the chariots of God and the angelic army was surrounding Elisha. Do you know you're surrounded by the holy angels? You're surrounded by the presence of God. You're surrounded by the goodness of God. You're surrounded by the favor of God. And whichever surround you surrender to will change your life and transform your life. And I got tired of saying, I don't want to hear news about this. I know some people major on all the problems. And I thank God there's a promise for every problem. I thank God that we can be surrounded by God. We can be surrounded by his presence. It says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And some people think that's about going to heaven. It's not about going to heaven, because it says, but God has revealed them unto us by the Spirit. Yes, it's about going to heaven, but God can reveal things to our eyes and our ears and cause them to drop into our heart. When I pray every morning, I walk around the sanctuary and I say, Lord, eyes have not seen, but I want my eyes to see. I open my eyes. Lord, open my ears to hear this morning. Lord, my heart's wide open to receive whatever you want to tell me today. Because I want to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God has revealed them to us, and we're surrounded by God's army, Elisha and his servant. So faith helps us to see what God is doing in the supernatural realm. And we need men and women that are surrendering to the surrounding of what God is doing in the supernatural realm. And when God shows up, things happen. When we listen to God's voice, God shows up. And our eyes are open, and he opens our eyes. And then he says, Lord, blind the Syrian army. And then he blinds the Syrian army. We've seen in our nation now, I believe God's blinding the eyes of those that are in wickedness and evil. We've seen an incredible shift in just a short time. I believe it's because the church has humbled themselves. I believe at the start of this thing, we were in pride and we were fighting the flesh with the flesh. But there was a humbling. Even President Trump, I've seen a humbling in him. And sometimes God has to humble us before he can pour out his grace on us, because we can't receive grace if we're walking in pride. Your grace house, you know about that stuff. And so Elisha leads them on a wild goose chase, doesn't he? Just like it's happened in our nation, some of the people have been led on a wild goose chase. And then after he's blinded them and leads them to Samaria, he says, now open their eyes, Lord. And I believe there's going to be an opening in the eyes of our nation. I believe Alabama is going to be one of the keys to bring opening of eyes to people that have been blinded. And all of a sudden the servant says, shall we kill them? And he says, no. He said, prepare a feast for them. We need to begin to be ready to prepare a feast for our enemies. Because God doesn't want enemies, people destroyed. He wants people saved. And so I believe we're going to see an incredible grace on the church to draw people into the kingdom this season. It's going to be one of the greatest outpourings for evangelism this United States has seen in years. Hebrews 11:27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So we need to be ones who see the invisible one. When the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elijah, my father, shall I kill them? He said, don't kill them. We're going to feed them. And then the Lord said, I want to show you what I surround you by. Dropped all this in my heart in about 5 minutes. I couldn't have figured it all out myself. He said, I want you to show kindness to your enemies. I want you to show love to those who rebuke you and those who say things to you and do evil. And you're surrounded. You will surrender. Which surrounding are you going to surrender? I have people say, oh, you don't know how dark it is in America. I say, you don't know how light the kingdom is. You don't know the evil that's... you don't know the presence of God that's going to overtake evil. You got your eyes on the wrong... Yeah, if you surrender that surrounding, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be depressed. You're going to hear every message that someone says. Oh, people during the pandemic, oh, did you see what was on Fox News? Did you see what... Did you read this tape? And I said, no, I'm reading the Word of God. I'm not watching CNN or Fox. I'm watching GNN, God News Network. It's called the Bible. And the Lord showed me this. He said, you need to learn the set principle. He said, I'm going to teach you the set principle. Whatever you surrender to, whatever surrounding, the S is for surrendering to the right surrounding. And he said, the E is for your eyes. Whatever you keep your eyes fixed on, you'll become like. And there was people that didn't give me any scripture. I told people, quit sending me these conspiracy things and all this other stuff. I said, I know God and I know his word. And I want to obey him. I'm surrendered to him. I'm not surrendered to all this other nonsense. The church wasted too much time about running after all these things and people getting scared. And whenever I feel fear on something, I don't want anything to do with it. God says, don't be afraid. And he says, what you see, you'll begin to trust in. You'll trust in what you see develops the kind of surrender. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. When you surrender to him and your eyes are on him, you declare to him you're trusting in him. Psalm 32:8-10, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. See, a horse, You need to bridle it because it'll run off ahead of, some of the Christians want to run off ahead of God, and some are like donkeys. They need to be pulled to be able to be moved off where they've been. I don't want to be like the horse or the donkey. I want him to be able to instruct me with his eye. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy will surround him. You're surrounded by the mercy of God. You're surrounded by the mercy of God. And what does the Lord surround us with? He surrounds us with favor. Psalm 5:12 says, he surrounds the righteous with favor like a shield. You're surrounded by favor. The Lord said, I could start a 13th tribe. It's called the tribe of the favorites. We're all God's favorites. God has favors, all of us. And when you're surrounded by the favor of God, you walk in the favor of God. You're surrounded by the mercy of God. You're surrounded by the favor of God. How many of you know you and I need God's favor? I just came back from the Philippines. I've taken trips for the last 15 years. A bishop who has a Southern Baptist who is filled with the Holy Spirit, who is probably knows a lot of your friends. He talks about him all the time. He showed up in my office and said, you came to the Philippines and I was gone. And he said, all the young Baptist people, they don't like people like you, but they all liked you. And he goes, I started the G12 movement in the Philippines. And he said, with Larry Stockstill and all these people, and he said, we know how to disciple people, but we don't have power like you have power. I heard about the miracles that came. And so, to make a long story short, through the process of going over years and my son leading teams, me leading teams, we got to be able to lay hands on the governor's over 2 million people. So she's become a personal friend of mine. Now, if you know me, I'm a drug addict alcoholic. I could have fit into Alabama real good. I could drink and sing and play guitar, and I like country songs. And I was a drug addict and alcoholic, and I should never have anything to do with the governor. And so the governor comes, and she's over 2 million people. She has 4,000 employees. We end up in her office. She kicks everybody out. She's kind of depressed, and I heard she's a Christian, so I lay hands on her. She gets filled with the Holy Spirit, starts to pray in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit. So whenever we go there, she leaves whatever's going on in her life and comes to visit us to ask us to pray for her. I've been invited to our state government. And the former governor, before this bad governor we had, she was a little better, she allowed me to go into the rotunda and release decrees under her authority and acknowledge the Christian week for the first time in our state. And there's favor. I pray for favor over my kids. My daughter-in-law started LifeWise Academy in the state of Washington. They're shocked that it's one of the first states that it's happening outside of the Midwest. So she just had this last week, the first time in the state history of Washington since the early 60s of being able to take students during public school to have a Bible class to learn the gospel and have the gospel preached to them. And she's had people pour resources, and she looked at my wife and I said, I've watched you have the favor of God in your life all our life. I've never experienced it. She said, I'm experiencing it. She said, people gave me $30,000 from a bank, and people come and say, fix your vans and get whatever you need. I'll give you all the money. And people are coming out of the woodwork to support. They're talking about, this can't be done in the state of Washington. I said, anything that can't be done, God's doing. He doesn't care. He can break all the rules. Man-made rules, he breaks them. And I've watched favor come on my children. I've watched the favor of God. I could tell you stories about favor, that everywhere we go, we end up in situations. I was with Dr. Listick about a year or two ago, and we were in Fiji, and we ended up in the Prime Minister's office, and I was just fun to be there. And then the man that was supposed to pray for him says, Dr. Hammer, I think you're supposed to prophesy. I got to lay hands on the Prime Minister. And everywhere we go, the favor of God comes. And it's not about us, it's about him. We're not impressive. Don't look at us. I'm not impressive. But the one who lives in me is incredibly impressive. And when Jesus gives you a surrender to his surrounding, all of a sudden his presence starts to show up. And he can arrest whole armies. He can shift nations like he shifted this nation the last little period of time. And we're surrounded with songs of deliverance. You are my hiding place, the psalmist said. Psalm 32, you shall preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. How often does the Lord bring a song when you're in the middle of a trouble and all of a sudden that song lifts up? I loved when I walked in, I could feel the presence of God, just like home here. And the presence of God in our church keeps getting stronger and stronger, and people are weeping when they walk in the building. They're weeping through worship. They're weeping when they're getting saved. They're weeping when you're trying to lead them to Christ. It's hard to get them to speak because the presence of God is so strong. You're surrounded with songs of deliverance. So when it looks bad, guess what? His angel army is there to deliver you. He surrounds you with his presence. He surrounds you with his favor. He surrounds you with his mercy. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that are declaring the same God that got them out of trouble, the same men and women that changed history in their time because they heard a word from God. They touched into the invisible realm and God started to do something supernatural. God is a supernatural God who does supernatural things. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance. And we're surrounded in Psalm 125, verse 2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, as the Lord surrounds his people at this, from this time forth and forevermore. You are surrounded. Are you going to surrender? When you surrender to the Lord, he'll take you places you never dreamed of. He'll put you into situations where you realize God only could have done this. And you'd be a fool to act like you had much to do with it. When people say, how did that happen? I said, it's a three-letter word, God. Well, how did you? I said, I didn't. I couldn't do this if I tried. They said, how do you get in all these situations? How do you know all these people? I said, one answer, God. It's him. Look at Jesus. This is what he does. When you surrender to him, he surrounds you with favor to proclaim his name, to preach the gospel, to share the good news. It doesn't matter who it is. And often I find that some unnoticed, unimportant, supposedly person who's the connection that opens the door. You notice the people God chooses? We would have never chosen them. We've got these plans. We're gonna reach the whole city. And what does he say? Jesus comes to the well and goes, I've got a woman that's committing adultery. I'm going to use her to change the city. And we have 10 cities, you know, and let's go up to all the high people and let's get all the seven mountains. And God says, no, let's go down the valley. And here's the demoniac man that's been cutting himself, chewing a pit. They've chained him. He's going to be used to change 10 cities. When are we going to figure out our ways are not God's ways? And he takes people that are unknown, unpolished, not popular or famous, and he just causes his favor to rest on them. And then we just stand amazed at God, don't we? Because we know, how can God use a fool like that? And thank God that he's the king of fools, because I'm one of them. Thank God that he uses humble people that have just surrendered to him. So you're surrounded by problems, but guess what? You're surrounded by the favor of God. You're surrounded by the mercy of God. You're surrounded by God's presence this weekend, and he wants the favor of God. I believe there's going to be a release of supernatural favor. I told some of the Native American leaders I got involved with. One of the young gals in our church is sixth-generation granddaughter to Chief Seattle. She's now met Jordan Peterson. We've been praying for her. It's crazy what's happened to her. You know what they do? They take in Native children. They've got like about 10 children now. They come with two wagons full of Native Americans they've fostered and now have adopted. Her husband's Hispanic. She met the governor. She came to me one Sunday and goes, Pastor, do you think I should go talk to the governor? He invited me to come teach his children about the history of Chief Seattle. I want to preach the gospel. I said, if you're not going, I am. And if you would have looked at her a few years ago, you would have thought she would never be a person God would use. Now she's getting platformed. She's getting invited all over. And my joy is to watch the people at our apostolic center be released to their ministry. My joy is to watch them do what God called them to do. You don't have to be important. You don't have to be famous. But the favor of God is going to be released upon you this weekend. A supernatural favor. I'm sitting in Fiji going, what am I doing prophesying over the prime minister of Fiji? And then my friend came. He said, oh, do you want to start a Seattle Bible College here? And I said, sure. He said, well, why don't I give you some money to start it? And you can start it with the man that we were connected to. He's the opposing party of the parliament. He's connected to him, and he says, well, Dr. Hammer, I'll start a school with you, and I'll get my friends. And the businessman, he said, how much money? And I said, oh, we probably need at least $1,000 a month. Or he said, that's not enough. He said, I'll give you $24,000. Now, see, that's what happens when favor, when you're just kind of, you're like one of the three stooges. You just kind of show up, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you walk into something. Or like Dr. List says, you're like Mr. Magoo, some of you old people know. You walk into this stuff, and people go, how does it happen? You go, I'm still trying to figure out how it happened. That's the favor of God. You are surrounded. You will surrender. Who are you going to surrender to? What you see with your eyes are to the invisible realm. Father, I pray that even as Bishop Kyle comes, that you just anoint all that he's going to say. And I pray that the favor of the living God, the anointing of God, Lord, like my pastor that started the Bible school used to say to his black pastor friend, he said, the best definition of the anointing. He says, the black pastor told him, he said, when see that cow over there underneath the tree and see that bird singing in the tree? And he said, yes. And he said, when that cow gets up and sings like the bird, that's the anointing. And we thank you. That's what happens to us, Lord. Lord, that we were nothing without you, but we're surrounded by the favor and mercy of God. Release songs of deliverance out of Alabama. Release the sound of the music that you placed into this state to be released under the anointing. And I pray the favor of the living God would be imparted to your people, that you'd release them to their destinies, to their callings, that this would become an apostolic hub that would release people to be equipped to do the ministry, to be released with favor, oh God. And even as I told my Native American friends, I said, if you allow me to become a part of your tribe, I want to be known as Wild Favor. Give me a native name called, I want to be known as Brave Wild Favor. And I pray you'd release a wild favor over this people in Grace House and the people and the churches gathered here in Jesus' name. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Amen.
Somebody say wow backwards. Dan, you preach a lot better than you look, man. Let's all stand for just a minute. We can't just let that go. That was God. How many of you know that was God? That was God. That was God. And it's so powerful. You know, we're made so powerful in the image of God that whatever we agree with, we activate. Whatever we agree with, we activate. And that's what Dan just got through telling us about. We're surrounded, but what are we going to surrender to? But I think some of us have probably surrendered to things we ought not surrender to. And I felt before we move forward, we need to press delete on those things and readjust our gaze on what God wants us to begin to focus on. So let's take a minute before God right now. Just begin to pray quietly. Just begin to listen to the Lord. And God will begin to bring before your mind things that you've agreed with, things that are bigger in your mind than God, fears about your health, fears about your relationship, family issues, whatever it is that the enemy's trying to put on you. Those are things we're going to press delete on. And we're going to just say, God, I no longer agree with that in Jesus' name. I cast that down. And we're going to proclaim with our mouth what we decide to agree with, what we surrender to. So let's take a minute here and allow God to do that. Father, we press delete. We press delete. Let the Lord show you every area. Some of you have fears of death and early death. It's the enemy who's bringing that to you. You will not agree with that. Even diabetes. We break agreement with wrong alliances, wrong allegiances. Begin to declare what you will surrender to. You will surrender to the favor of God. You will surrender to the armies of God. You will surrender to the love of God, the power of God. Let's pray that God will put blinders on our eyes. We won't even see. We won't even see what the enemy's trying to bring to us. We'll see it enough to resist it, but that's not where our gaze is. We see what God's doing more than what the enemy's doing. We see where God is more than where the enemy is. Father, put blinders on our eyes that we're not distracted by that which shines. We don't hear the voice of the enemy. We don't see those things larger and bigger than what you're doing. Magnify what you're doing in our life. Magnify what you're doing in our family. Magnify what you're doing in our spirit. Magnify what you're doing. Begin to shift our focus, God. Many are waiting for the next shoe to drop. They're waiting for the next crisis and the next trial. What about going from glory to glory? What about the fact we're more than conquerors in you that loved us? What about that, Father? That's what we need our focus on, our eyes on. For you are Christus Victor. And in you we have the victory, and we align our hearts with that. We say every promise in our life is being fulfilled. Every prophetic word is coming to pass. We say, Lord, you will be magnified in our life, in this church and in this region, in a way that we never have before. We thank you, Father, because we will surrender. We're surrendering afresh to you and your assignment. It doesn't matter how big the army against us. We surrender to the armies from heaven that are surrounding the enemies that are against us. We honor you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give God a great praise this morning. Let's thank him. Wow. Wow. That was so good. Please be seated. And by the way, how many of you love Eddie and Mickey Lawrence? Yeah. Now, which one do you love the most, Eddie or Mickey? All Eddie, let me know by applause. No, we're not going to do that. You know, I remember visiting Chuck Pierce, since we've talked about him a lot, preached in his conference a couple of times, and one of the times I was with him was post-pandemic, and I was asking him a question. I said, how are things during a pandemic? Did you guys close or whatever? And I forgot what his answer was on whether the church closed or not, but he said, it wasn't a big deal. And he said something that set me on a journey of thinking in a different way. He said, that's something you have to buy into. And if you buy into it, it becomes real for you. And I thought, man, what are you talking about? And that set me on a journey of beginning to understand some of the things that Dan said. We literally need to believe the report of the Lord and not the report of the enemy. That was elevating, Dan. So I'm so grateful that you did that. Thank you so much. So what I want to do for the next 7 hours is give you a picture. Something I said. A few minutes is give you a picture of something for you to surrender to, a picture for you to begin to buy into, because this weekend is pregnant. It is going to deliver. God is in this weekend, and it has nothing to do with the vessels that are here. It has to do with God, and it has to do with what you've cultivated. The worship here is at another level from when I was here last time. It's just, there's a purity in it. There's a holiness in what's happening. And I think God's found a place he could really work through. So you are so important to this region. You're so important to this state. And God wants to begin to do some things. So he gave me a verse for you. And I just want to expound on this verse a little bit and give you a picture. Say a picture. I'm going to give you a picture of what God's going to do. And I want you to set your heart in agreement with it. So Psalm 92, verse 10. I think we have some slides that will come up so you don't have to kind of dig into all the scriptures. And I don't know if I'm controlling them or somebody else. Psalm 92, verse 10. Okay, very good. So we're going to talk about fresh oil. Psalm 92, verse 10 through 15. It went too far. Can you go back, Eddie? There we go. There you go. Psalm 92, verse 10 through 15. Let's read that together. Ready? Read. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Say that with real faith. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Say it one more time. I have been anointed with fresh, and I'll say it with a southern twang. Fresh oil, that's what I'm talking about. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Say amen to the word of God. This is a verse God dropped in my heart for you this weekend, and God is going to release fresh oil on Grace House this weekend. He's going to release fresh oil on the leadership this weekend. He's going to release fresh oil in your lives this weekend. Let's look at it. In verse number one, it says, my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. And horns in the word of God symbolize strength. Say strength. Numbers chapter 23, verse 22. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. So strength is one of the things God's going to bring on us. There's a real plan of the enemy to bring weakness to us. And there's a weakness we have before God. And the Christian life is somewhat dichotomous if you really think about it, because we're to humble ourselves before God. Before God, we're sheep. Before the world, we're lions. There's a roar we're to have. This is an hour we have to rise up and understand who we are and walk in a level of strength we've never walked in before. It's an Isaiah 60 moment where we're to arise and shine. Have you ever seen the sun embarrassed by who it is? The sun rises and it's in your face. This is the hour we need to rise up and declare strength. God said to Joshua at that critical moment, listen, be strong and be of good courage. And there's a strength of grace coming upon this house, and it's represented by the fresh oil God's releasing upon you. Also, Dan talked about it, a horn symbolizes manifesting of favor. Psalm 89, verse 17, for you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. He talked real well about favor, but that wasn't just what he walks in. That's what God's releasing upon you. And listen to me, one day of favor can be more than a lifetime of labor. Favor opens doors that you have no idea with. And favor with God and favor with man is all we need to walk in this hour. It is a major deposit of the Lord, and favor is coming upon you this weekend. Also, a horn represents the manifestation of his name, the name of Jesus being manifest in a new way. Psalm 89, 24, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. And I really believe God's going to begin to manifest more of his name in this place. Now, we all have his name. We have access to the name. We use the name to a certain degree, but there are aspects of God's name when it's fully manifest, no devil in hell can resist what God's doing in that place. And there's an expanding, a greater manifestation. It kind of reminds me of my wife and I. We've been married about 34 years, and the more we're married, the more she uses the name. Well, some of you get what I'm saying. Before, she at least used to ask. Now she just writes the checks. The more we grow in God, the more we begin to understand that everything we do, we don't even have to ask God. Sometimes God wants us to open our mouth and just declare, we have keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose shall be loosed in heaven. Sometimes we're saying, God, what do you want? And sometimes God's looking at us saying, what do you want? Last year, I had a very interesting time. I began to go before God for the word of the Lord for the years. I've done so many times. And God sometimes will speak, all the time will speak about what the word of the Lord is. But this time, he did something different. He said, why is everybody always coming to me, asking me what's going to happen this year, as if what's going to happen doesn't have anything to do with what you're going to do to make it happen? I said, say what? In other words, God's saying to me, what's going to happen this year? How are you going to use your keys? How are you going to wield my authority? How are you going to use your name? How are you going to release the kingdom of God down to the earth? How are you going to make my name known? And there's an aspect where God is releasing his name in a greater way, and he wants you to use that name to open this territory more, to cause more churches to experience the fullness of the blessing that you have released into those places, to cause that apostolic grace that God's given you to begin to multiply over this region. So God says, number one, fresh oil is coming. That's represented by a horn. One of the evidences of fresh oil is significant breakthrough. I love 1 Samuel 2 when Hannah began to pray for a Samuel. And when Hannah prayed for a Samuel, when Samuel came, she said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice at your salvation. In other words, she's saying this blessing, this breakthrough you've given me is represented by a horn. So the horn of authority God's releasing on you in a new way is strength. It's favor, it's manifestation of his name, and it's significant breakthrough. God needs you to agree with that. God needs you to surrender to that. God needs you to understand you're coming out of this weekend with more strength. You're coming out with more favor. You're coming out with a greater manifestation of his name, and you're coming out with more breakthrough. If you can believe that, say amen this morning. Amen. Then it says, I'll anoint you with fresh oil. Oil has a lot to do with anointing. We understand that. But it has to do with the reconfirmation of a call. And this weekend is going to be a weekend where the whole church gets elevated. Pastor Eddie's going to be elevated. And God's going to pour out some significant oil upon your life. Now, throughout the Word of God, there were times when the infilling of the Holy Spirit was not just done once. In Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 says, be not drunk with Jack Daniels, but be filled with the Spirit.
And that word filled means be being filled. It means continually be filled. So there are greater infillings of the Holy Spirit. And this weekend, there's coming a fresh deposit, a fresh release, a fresh manifestation of the Holy Spirit upon the leadership and upon everyone's life who can agree with that and surrender to that. And I declare you will not be the same after this weekend, because fresh oil is about to be released in this place. If you believe it, say amen. And then the anointing in that verse. The word anointing means smear. In Psalm 23:5, where the word of God says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of your enemies. You anoint my head with oil." The oil, in some ways, is preservation. In Psalm 23, the image that David gives is of a shepherd who has sheep. And what the shepherd would do with the sheep is he would take this anointing oil and smear it on his head. And the reason he would do that is there was a fly that would come and light on the sheep. The fly would hatch and have little worms or eggs or whatever it was, and they would crawl up into the sheep's brain, and the sheep would go mad. So what a good shepherd would do is anoint their head with oil so they don't lose their mind. Anybody realize that's why we're still here? So the anointing is an endowment, but it's also preservation. It's a preservation. It's this grace where God begins to keep you. And I feel that for you this weekend, because how many of you know new levels, new devils, but we're not focusing on the devils. We're surrendering to the God, because new levels, more of God. New levels, new angels. But there is this degree where you need to know that you're protected. You need to know that you're covered. I woke up the other day, mid last year, and God said, read Psalm 91 and Psalm 121. And I said, "Lord, I already knowest what that sayest." He said, "Read it." So I read Psalm 91. And at the end, I said, "Amen." I read Psalm 121. And at the end, I said, "Amen." And the Lord said strongly, "And nothing will touch you." I said, "Yes, sir." And he said it so strong, I thought, "I'm fine. Is there something I need to know?" You know. 2 days later, I'm driving back from my sister's birthday party, and I'm in the car. It's about 11:30 at night, and I look up behind me, and there's a car barreling down on me like a bat out of where it's coming from. And it's barreling down on me. So I'm in the left lane, and I said, "Man, I better get out of his way." So I go to the right lane, and he comes to the right lane. Then I said, "Man, I got to go to the left lane." I went to the left lane, and he came to the left lane as if I'm being targeted. So he hits me. Car spun around, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 times, whatever it was. I'm in there praying. He says, "Lord, just keep me." Came to a stop. Later on, I found out it was a 30-something-year-old kid, drunk driver, doing 110 miles an hour. And that was the day that I was supposed to be going to see Jesus. But nothing will touch you. You hear me? That's what Dan's talking about. What are we going to agree with? What are we going to surrender to? What are we going to align ourselves with? And there's this preservation that's coming. And you need to know you will not die. I felt in the beginning when we were praying, there are about 3 people in here that have this significant fear of death, an early death. But I'm here to tell you, you will not die 1 minute before God calls you home. You will not have an untimely death. You will not. You will live and not die. I declare that over your life in the name of Jesus. So there's this preservation that's coming. And then the Bible gives us the image of a palm tree. It says we'll be anointed like palm trees. A palm tree is a tree of, I'm totally forgetting the slide. Sorry about that. A palm tree, are you following along with me? Thank you. A palm tree is a tree that has a large trunk and a stately body. It has dates and fruits that are pleasant. It's the queen of trees in Oriental settings. Palm trees are always green. Winter does not change the palm tree. It has deep tap roots that allow it to seek out the water table. A palm tree survives in arid, dry climates. It produces fruit for many, many years. It's a water source. It's an oasis. It's almost everything about a palm tree is usable. Its fruit is usable. It has its sap is a drink that's fermented. Its leaves are used for roofing houses. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, the leaves of the palm tree were used for his triumphal entry. Even in the tabernacle, they covered the walls in the interior with a palm tree. Many think it actually represented the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. It is said, the more you press down a palm tree, it grows. It bears fruit with seeds in it, which speaks of reproduction for the next generation. God's just giving you a picture as to what he's about to do in your life this weekend. We are coming out of this weekend like palm trees with sweet fruit and sap that's in us. We're coming out manifesting the glory and the beauty and the strength of a palm tree. And then it talks about a cedar tree. Cedar means fruitfulness and vitality. Psalm 104, verse 16, the trees of the Lord are full of sap, and the cedars of Lebanon which are planted. Cedars in Lebanon were high and tall trees. They were very near to heaven. They're incredibly durable, used for wood carving, and used for masts in big ships and boards. Cedar trees live long. They can live up to 2,000 years. They become tall and very large in diameter. Cedar trees represent the countenance of the Lord. I love this, and I heard something on this. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 15. Says his legs are as pillars of marble. He sets sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as cedars. So his countenance is referred to as a cedar tree. I remembered when I was in worship a time when a prophet came to our church, and we had an amazing worship service. And when he stood up, he said, I've seen something in here I've never seen before. He said, I saw the face of Jesus watermarked on the wall. He said it was huge, probably 10 feet, 15 feet tall. It was just watermarked on the wall. I said, God, what's that? And he said, tell them that I can come in here and not turn my face away from the things that are happening here. And as a result of that, I'm going to manifest my presence in ways that you cannot believe. And even to this day, probably 10 or 15 years later, many times in our church, we have services where you can't preach. The power and the glory of God is so strong, and it's manifested in such a fresh way. I really felt that here, that there's such a purity here. There's such a holiness here. There's such a unique bent of the heart toward leadership. God says, I'm coming in a greater way. And I don't know that you're ready, and you don't really have to be ready for all that he's going to do, but I'm telling you, the day will come when not a person in this auditorium will be able to stand or sit. The presence and the glory of God will be so strong, everyone will be prostrate before the Lord. There's coming a move of his presence that'll be so sovereign that by the time it's over, some will think it's moments, but it'll be hours. And as people begin to get themselves together and get up, you're going to find out that every single sick person has been healed. Every demonized person has been delivered. Every addicted person has been freed. All by the hand and the presence of God. I want you to agree with that. I want you to surrender to that. I want you to say yes to that, because I'm telling you, God wants to come and do that in this place. And this weekend is a big part in this. You will become like cedars of Lebanon. But then the psalm says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. So I want to speak to you for just a minute about being planted in the house of the Lord. There's a verse in Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. I love this verse, one of my favorite. It says, not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. I used this verse to preach a message one time in my church called I Need a Joint. It was a bestseller. I don't know why. It's just, everybody got the tape and CD. But it talks about how God blesses. I want to read the verse to you again. And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, the head, from whom all the body nourished and knit together by what? By what? I need a joint. Joints and ligaments grows with the increase that is from. So increase comes through joints. Can you see that? Increase comes through connection. You see, my arm here, my forearm is connected to my gun. through my elbow. So my elbow is a joint. And this joint connects these two parts. When God gets ready to pour out, he doesn't pour out individually as much as we think he does. He pours out corporately. He pours out in joints. Joints and ligaments. He pours out in a collective way. And there's something that's happening in our individualistic society in America where the way people posture their heart toward God through his people, toward entities and toward men, and even toward men of God is not optimal. And it needs to be adjusted some. Here's probably a little better than most places, but a lot of people have this individual streak that says, I don't need anybody, I don't need you, I'm just here. If the music's good, I'll stay. If you don't preach too long, I'll stay. But there's not this submission of your heart, this place of loyalty. But the Bible said, those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. There's something about being planted with heart, with emotions, with mindset. Jesus talked about this. When he met the centurion came to Jesus and said, Lord, would you come and heal my son or my servant? He's sick. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. On the way there, he died. But the centurion said, Lord, you know what? I think before he died, the centurion said, Lord, you know what? Don't even come to my house. He said, let me tell you what I understand. I'm a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me. And I say to those under me, because I'm submitted to authority, I say to those under me, do this, and guess what? They do it. So I know how you roll, Jesus. You're submitted to God's authority, and if you say to sickness, go, it's going to go. So don't even come to my house. Speak the word only, and you should be healed. But we get there a picture. It's how the kingdom works. The kingdom works by alignment. It works by a place of submission and alignment. So when you're aligned right, then everything that you're aligned with passes through you. It's alignment that gives you authority. Psalm 133 talks about the same thing. Behold how beautiful and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? In unity. It's like the precious ointment that came down the head of who? Aaron of all people. Aaron went down his beard, then went to his garment. For there the Lord commanded a blessing. There the dew of Hermon was released. What is it talking about? Alignment. The anointing came down on the head of Aaron, came down to his beard. So what if you are six rebellious hairs on the beard that don't want to be connected, that are off to the side? You'll miss out on some oil. You'll miss out on what God's pouring down. I have churches in many places in the nations, and one of the things that absolutely shocked me. One of my sons went to Brazil some years ago, and he found a guy there who was pastoring. I forget what kind of church he was pastoring. He said, man, you're out here by yourself. You don't have anybody you're connected to. He said, I've got a pastor back in Montgomery, Alabama. He's got a great church. He said, you need to become a fresh anointing church. So the guy said, yeah, I'd love to do that. So he became a fresh anointing house of worship church in Brazil, organization I oversee. And for 5 or 6 years, I wasn't able to go there. So this guy starts the church. My son, who went there and started a church, my spiritual son, did not go back. So here's a guy, and this is really before we were online, broadcasting online, but here's a guy who aligned his heart. Now, God told me about 5 years before that, he said, son, everyone who aligns their heart with what I'm doing in this ministry with sincerity and truth, there'll be an invisible umbilical cord that'll go from here to their ministry, and everything I do here, I'll do there. After this guy started a church, never came to Montgomery, we're not streaming online during this time, my spiritual son never goes back there, I walk into his church 5 years later, he's got a couple of hundred people, absolutely beautiful congregation, I mean, the people were amazing, my first time going to a country where nobody speaks English, you know, I'm used to going places where they speak a little English in Africa, and we couldn't say anything, we'd say, hello, huh? You know, the obrigado, whatever. The only word they understood was selfie. Selfie? Hey, let's do a selfie. It was weird. But I walk in there, and they start the worship service. And as they started the worship service, my wife and I just wept. We said, this is the exact presence we have in Montgomery, the exact manifestation of God's glory. The guy got up and began to preach with the same style and same grace that was on our heart. And I said, God, what's happening? I forgot what he told me. He said, didn't I tell you everybody who aligns their heart with what I'm doing, whatever I'm doing there, I will do in that place. He said, this guy has aligned his heart properly. So I just wanted to say to you, God's going to do something significant in this house. Significant in this ministry. Make sure you're planted in the house of the Lord so you can flourish in the courts of your God. Say amen with real faith on that one. And the last thing the psalm says is that we will bear fruit in old age. If you can put that slide up. bear fruit in old age. I tried to find a picture of Eddie, but I couldn't find one. So, when other trees stop producing fruit, then we'll still be producing fruit. There's something about longevity, and God's very serious about that. There are a number of you that will have fruit into very ripe ages, and God's going to begin to use you significantly. So this is what we need to begin to agree with. Let me read Psalm 90 to you again, 92 to you again. This is the verse that's yours. But your horn you have exalted like a wild ox. You will soon be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on my enemies. My ears will hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Verse 12, the righteous, this house, Grace House, shall flourish like a palm tree. You will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who plant themselves in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. It's going to be a very powerful weekend. Everything's going to fit together like an embroidery where God's putting every piece together. But by the time the weekend is over, you will be elevated to a new place. There will be fresh oil coming upon your life, your family. Marriages will be renewed. Strength will be released. Favor will be released in a magnificent way. And this house will be at another level. My question is, are you ready for it? Can you agree with it? Can you surrender to it? Then please stand where you are now. Just lift your hands before the Lord and say, Father, we agree with Psalm 92. We agree that fresh oil is coming upon this house. We agree that a fresh anointing is being established among us. We agree that new authority is being released upon us. Father, we say yes to your strength. We say yes to your favor. We say yes to your name. We say yes to the manifestation of your glory. We say yes to greater miracles. We say yes to apostolic grace. We say yes to increase. We say yes to the next generation being trained and discipled. We say yes to a new sound being released from this house. We say yes to resources, significant resources being manifest. We say yes to fresh oil. We say yes to the anointing. We declare we will look like a palm tree. We say we'll be like cedars in Lebanon. We declare that enemies that rise against us will not be able to touch us. And Father, we will hear your voice and plant in the house of the Lord so we can flourish in the courts of our God. We surrender to you. We yield to you. And we thank you for fresh oil. Now just lift your hands and pray in the Spirit for a moment. We can have just a little bit of worship. Just pray in the Spirit for a moment. And Dan, if you'll come up, if we could just pray in the Spirit. Father, we thank you. God, we bless you. We thank you that this is a moment in the history of this church where grace is being poured out abundantly. I'm seeing a fountain open, literally a fountain open, and it's like fresh waters, fresh rivers are being released in a new, in a fresh way, a fresh dimension. So receive the refreshing of the Lord. Receive the refreshing rains. Receive the refreshing wind. Even now, some of you will feel a refreshing. You'll feel this, just like this touch, this tingling upon you. God is renewing you. He's refreshing you. Dust is being blown off you, so to speak, and God's renewing you. Some of you feel a fire burning in the midst of your spirit. One or two of you are feeling a new, fresh fire burning. Just say, Lord, I receive that. Let God begin to deposit that upon you. One or two of you, God's going to give you a new prayer language. He needs to elevate your prayer life. As you begin to pray in the Spirit, God's going to begin to release a new dimension of a prayer language upon you. Just receive that and begin to release it and let it go. A new fire upon your tongue to begin to pray in the spirit realm. God needs new intercessors established, beginning to bring in that which he's doing. And there's at least two of you, maybe a few more. There's a new fresh fire being released upon your tongue that God will begin to use you in new ways. Father, we thank you for that new freshness. We thank you for that new glory and new grace. We thank you, God, that you're releasing a new sword through the sound of this house. For the sound of this house is producing a new sword that is being released. A new sword that is opening new territory in the realm of the Spirit. We thank you. We thank you for what you're establishing in this region. Continue to pray in the Spirit.
I also saw that God's going to be releasing music and worship out of this house, songs. He's going to give your worship people to release the sound of heaven, to cause there to be a wind to blow. I saw the winds in Alabama are going to be stirred up. The winds are going to blow, the supernatural winds that come by the Holy Spirit. I also saw a release of creativity on your creative people. There's going to be birthed out of this place artists and creative people that are going to be released creatively. I saw many of you drawing palm trees and fashioning things. God's going to release a creativity out of this house. There's going to come artists and people that do sculptures, people that do artwork that are going to capture the fancy of people. I saw an anointing coming on the creativity of this house. Grace House is going to be releasing the creativity of God. God is recapturing the arts in this season for the church to rise up. And the arts are going to be manifest through this house. The arts are going to cause the attention of people to be gripped when they look at the pictures that are painted, the drawings, the photographs. There's somebody here who's a photographer who your art, I pray the favor that is on my first cousin once removed. God's Chase Jarvis, Lord, that he lives in the world and he was given $21 million to start a creative thing. He's known all over the world. And I pray that you'd release someone in this house, a photographer, to capture your heart, to capture like the picture that was spoken by Kyle of the picture of Jesus. Even on our walls in our church, we're putting four pictures of Jesus, the Savior, Healer, Baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and soon and coming King. And those pictures have captured people's attention. They've seen the picture. They've started to weep and say, I need Jesus as my Savior. And I praise you and thank you for the creativity, the apostolic creativity that's going to be released. There's going to be a renaissance of the arts through this house. There's going to be a release of an anointing that will draw people, Lord. God, I pray people that don't even know they have those gifts will be released. The gifts that are inherent even in their background, in their inheritance. We release the creative inheritance that was once, Lord, in this whole region of creativity, of music and the arts. God, I thank you. They're going to redig the old wells of creativity. Oh, God, that sound that's going to be released, Lord. The sound of the singing river, Lord. The sound of the music that's come out of Alabama. God, I pray you'd recapture it, Lord. God, they'd redig the wells here, Lord, that have been plugged up by the enemy. God, we thank you that they're going to dig some wells that are going to be deep, that are going to cause rivers to flow to the cities, to the nations, that are going to be released under the anointing of God. And even some of the young artists and the old artists will work together, Lord. And I thank you for the writers, that their tongues will be the tongues of ready writers, and they'll write down things that will capture people's hearts again. The recapturing of people's hearts again to believe and to see once again in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. There's somebody here. Where's the photographers? Where are people that do photography? Some of you are going to be released. So God, I pray an anointing. My first cousin, her son is Chase Jarvis. He's known all around the world. He's captured. You just Google him, Chase Jarvis. I've only met him a few times. He goes, oh, you're the preacher dude. I say, yeah, I'm the preacher dude of the family. God, I pray you'd release in and through photography. God, you'd release your heart that they'd show pictures that would capture people's attention, that would draw their minds away from the surrender to the world, to see pictures of who you are and what you do in people's lives. I pray for an anointing, fresh oil on the creativity, fresh oil on the photographers, fresh oil on the worshipers, Lord, that the sound of heaven, the songs of Moses and the Lamb will be released through Alabama in Jesus' name.
God does not want resources to be a challenge for this house. And I saw 3 to 7 businessmen, more like 7 businessmen, and I saw an invitation for God to say, I want you to increase your vision. I want you to think about double the productivity and understand that God's given you power to get wealth. And I saw businesses being multiplied in a massive way. When that happens, God wants you to understand this house should not struggle to fulfill the vision. There will be supernatural supply. And if you're in business, then you could believe God for significant increase. Just lift your hand right now. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we just declare favor upon that business, the favor you're releasing this weekend, where there'll be a significant increase. Lord, begin to expand the vision. Begin to expand the possibilities. Cause favor to cause connections and contracts they never thought possible. Supernaturally anoint them for business so that there would be such a release and such an increase. But remind them of money with a mission so this house will have more than enough. More than everything that's needed in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask for an increase of the deliverance mantle on this house. For many will come in drug addicted. Many will come in meth addicted. Many will come in demonized. And the Lord says, I do not want the demons to linger. I want deliverance in this house. There must be a fire of deliverance in this house, where people instantly come in and they're freed. And God is stirring up a deliverance mantle, the deliverance fire, where people will say, if you want to be free, go to Grace House. For grace will find you there and you will be free, and free indeed. For that mantle is resting on this house from this weekend. For I see a new fire being kindled. Those who are called to deliverance ministry, put your hand on your belly right now. Begin to pray in the spirit. And Father, may that fire, rema rotena ma adeno orima andelo pronina andeo, may it touch their spirit. May that fire burn in them. May there be freedom to the masses, especially drug addiction, especially the way the enemy has tried to capture the minds of this generation through drugs. I declare in Jesus' name a fiery deliverance mantle, where if you can just get them here, or you could take what's here to them, there will be instant deliverance from substance abuse and substance addiction. In the name of Jesus, receive that mantle.
I really feel on this creativity and the business that is so in line with what God's been showing us for a few years now. And I would like to ask our artists to come forward and just stand here in the altar. And also, I know we're launching a new business, Kingdom Business Breakthrough. If those people involved with that would come up as well. And just come up, a step of faith to come up. Our artists, business people. And I know we prayed into that, but I just felt like they needed to come forward. And y'all run with that.
Amen. We'll run down. As you come, just surrender to the Lord. Just lay your creativity at His feet and surrender to another level of creativity. If you're a business owner, lay the vision of your business at His feet and surrender to another level before the Lord. Father, we're asking for increase. Father, we're asking for a new dimension. God, bring greater creativity out of them. Create new vision within their businesses. I strongly sense new mantles being released. Oh God. Fresh fire. Worship team would just maybe lead some worship as we lay hands on those that are up here and pray for them.